Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Well, welcome again to the program that asked the question, where are we going?
And why are we in this?
Why are we in the handbasket? What's the handbasket? We got some great Jersey stuff. I'm Jim Gerhardt, Bob Williams, of course. Colleagues for, what, nigh 30 years now in New Jersey 101.5. Patrick Labrie of our news department had made a copy of this and brought it over. Why don't you take this?
We'll start with this one.
You talk about lawsuits. First of all, I did want to mention, I'm making up for the fact that I didn't have my grip hat last week.
Okay, you got it.
Because the cat slept on it and it was covered with cat hair.
And you removed a lot of the cat hair?
No, but not only do I have it back, I have a grip shirt on.
Oh, you got your grip shirt.
I got my grip
t-shirt. Matching.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we should have marketed those. That's a great idea, those grip shirts.
People who stick around long enough, I may show my grip underoos.
Stick around, folks. Yeah. You never know.
This story here from Pat.
Crazy.
This is a Jersey story, too.
Yeah, we ran this.
You go ahead.
Eric had this in the news this morning on the air. A couple from New Jersey, and I believe it's in Middlesex County, are suing Taco Bell because the Chalupa Supreme Beefy 5-Layer Burrito, Crunchy Taco, Cinnamon Twist, and a drink was advertised for a box for $5. Well, this gentleman and his wife went to the Taco Bell, and they were charged, before taxes, $12.18 for two of these boxes.
$1.09 each more.
Unbelievable. Lawsuit has been filed in yes. Middlesex County Court. This is from 2018. How dare Taco Bell charge more than the advertised price? The couple said they were told by management at the Taco Bell in Greenbrook that the restaurant did not have to comply with the commercial advertisement because they were covered by the fine print in their advertising that said prices may vary, says the lawsuit.
I don't know. Well, we'll see how far that one
wasn't,
gets.
That but wasn't good enough for them. So they're filing against the parent company of Taco Bell.
How much for?
It doesn't say. But it apparently is. Their claim. You will love this. The couple is claiming it sustained an ascertainable loss in the form of time wasted driving to the Taco Bell, the gasoline they spent to drive their vehicle to the Taco Bell, and in the amount of $2.18, which is the difference, what they should have been charged $10.
They missed a good one though.
What's that?
They should have sued for lack of consort when they got home.
Right, because they were in the mood.
They didn't get their chalupa. They needed the chalupa.
Their soft chalupa.
Oh, man.
So this reminds us of the
deja vu all over again.
Several years ago, there was everybody remembers that lawsuit against Subway, which originated in Marlboro. Subway had their footlong campaign for the footlong sandwiches, and somebody went over there with a ruler and measured the Subway sandwich and said that it's not a foot long. It's 11 inches and like 3/4. So they're not getting their full foot long's worth for $5. As advertised.
As seen on TV.
And I don't know what the result was, but boy, these are some very meaningful lawsuits that are, you know, standing up. Man. I mean, $2.18, Jim.
Put
the gauntlet down.
Let me put this in some kind of perspective. This is overcharging. This is serious. Here's the story of a young man, and according to the story, he would still be alive if he could have afforded insulin. Why could he not afford his insulin? The young man died. No. Because a vial that sold for $35 in 2001, now retailing for $300.
I believe that. Yep, there's a lot of gouging.
The profiteering, the gouging that's going on. Now that's worth a lawsuit.
Yes.
I don't have a notion that anybody's suing. There's nothing like that in the story.
Right.
But again, remember the, what was it, the EpiPens?
Yes, the EpiPen.
When that situation, when that skyrocketed, it went from $200 to $3,000 or something for
right.
one.
And people just could not afford that.
And one of the presidents, or the CEOs, I guess we call them now, of the pharmaceutical company that makes them had said, when questioned about it, said, well, this could mean death to people. He said, people's health is not my problem. My problem is showing a profit. See, this is, again, I don't want to go down another path right now, but this shows why there is a certain amount of reason on the side of the loony, the radical left. This is what free enterprise or capitalism on steroids.
Yes.
And everything. You can't trust anybody now.
No, because you got to ask, like, what's the profit? What's the gain? Who's got, you know, a vested interest in whatever you're discussing?
Yeah. This was a Wall Street Journal story. They said this has led to a devastating choice for many of the 7.5 million diabetic Americans who rely on insulin to survive. It said nearly 40% are now rationing due to cost, which again is going to have a deleterious effect on their health, I would think.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is because apparently there are three companies that
manufacture
it. You would know more about that than I, but three companies that manufacture this product, and there is no generic.
Right, there's no generic brands available. From what I understand, and no wonder people are trying to get it any way they can, through mail order, through Canadian, through foreign providers. It's just a shame.
And
I mean,
so
insulin is so critical to all people with diabetes, type 1, type 2.
Everything is profit. The number one medical procedure now is a cachectomy.
Cachectomy. Mm-hmm.
You
explain the procedure for us, would you please?
I don't want to get into that whole thing because it's a long subject and we have some other things we wanted to tackle here. But the fact that what healthcare has turned into is a total money pit for us. I'll give you an example. I had a specialist in a certain field who's very well respected come in one day to the appointment, and he was shaking his head. And he was late, of course. And he said, he shook his head. He said, my job right now is not caring for the health of my patients. It is creating volume and profit. That comes from a person on the inside. So this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. Let's hear from a few people and say maybe we'll get something happier. Angelo says, happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. I wish we could play that.
We've lost that recording, or it's somewhere in the archives.
Oh, I've got copies, but okay. The point is you can't do it because this is on the internet. Now, if we're on a radio station, we did. We played it and a lot of other things, but you can't do it because of licensing things. Yeah, the radio station pays a blanket license to ASCAP, BMI, the licensing agencies, and you can play anything they have. The internet, it's a different thing. And all these guys, you play a little line or two out of a recording, and the company, because the company is perceived to have deep pockets, could get sued for a huge amount of monies because we played Ren and Stimpy singing Happy, Happy, Joy,
right,
Joy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is from Lori. Lori, thanks, because this is something that I really wanted to get into a little bit today. And said, Columbus was our history. It's a shame people can't deal with our history in today's society. There's an old thing in psychology that there's a human tendency to change past history to fit present neurotic needs. We all do that.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
We've got so many. Thank you. I appreciate people getting us off the hook by suggesting things to talk about.
Yeah.
Generally, my rule is, I don't think of something.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Rose says, I feel Columbus should stay. It is part of our history. It's very sad that all the statues of iconic people are disappearing. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. It's no matter what it was, it's our history. You cannot rewrite history. You cannot accept revisionist history because it's not what happened. It's not the real deal.
Well, you say you can't. We have to. We're in the process of having it done to us. This is all part of breaking down the glue, if you want, that holds this culture together, the American culture together. Well, they started with language. Language is a big one here that identifies and defines a people, a unity. And the first thing really was when we sort of shared our language.
Yes.
And now you've got two languages in this country, and you have to live with that. There's so much that can be said. I want to get back to the Columbus thing, though. Mm-hmm. And this is opinion. This is purely opinion. We know that in New Jersey, there was a move nationally to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous People Day. Now, clearly, you could have an Indigenous People's Day at any time of year.
Of course.
People, workers, especially government workers, would love it. They get another Monday off.
Right.
And so that could be done. So clearly, this is a targeted process, and it is targeted clearly at Italian Americans. Mm-hmm. Now, in New Jersey, we're told that, up to 40% of the people, Bob, I believe Bill had the statistics on that, have some Italian ancestry.
Heritage, yes.
in their genes.
Right.
And people are very proud of that when you see what they've accomplished after they're coming to this country,
right,
kind of woe-bedraggled and ending up, you know, certainly a most important and dynamic part of the culture. Now, since this was a unifying factor that the politicians could figure that they could make some hay out of a block vote, if you can pander to the Italian-American population, obviously. And whichever way they go, the politician would jump out in front,
right,
and pretend that he's leading it. My theory is the real purpose of pushing this Indigenous People's Day on us in New Jersey, and I think only two towns did it, but you know others are
yes,
going to come in, is really, in a sense, to use an Italian idiom, this is the politician is turning to the Italian-American community and dusting their beard.
Right.
And saying, I could go up, you know, something you do with your arm. I forget how it works. A festival of Sicilian hand gestures there. No, but seriously, I think this is a slap in their face. But the reason for it, and again, it's my opinion, there is a sea change of population, of course, going on. And what they are saying is that you, as the darling of our campaigns and our promises, our pandering, our power, the base of our power, you're not in the catbird seat anymore. There's another group,
or
group of groups, which I guess would be a great combination of what non-Caucasians, if you want to get into that. But essentially, this is what it would amount to. And these are the people to whom the politicians will now are showing that you're not that important to us. This is the important group now.
Right.
And we've talked about politics. Politicians and politics, as Ambrose Bierce very wisely said one time, that it is not about principle, it is self-interest disguised as principle.
Mm.
And the number one item on any politician's agenda, even petty ones, I guess the Gloucester County Poultry Inspector, if he has any kind of obligation to the public, are going to have as their number one item their career. Because we talked about this before, political careerism, I guess, is one of the roots of our problem here.
Yeah.
And so as long as this politics and political positions are a career, then everybody protects their career. So this is what they do. And I had some more to follow on that. And again, I'm getting into probably some unsafe political ground. Let me ask you, Bob, now you were here. I guess basically what I am saying is that with this great move to discredit Columbus and to not only that, but to more than trivialize, I think it's to actually condemn him and everything that he did, in the name of Indigenous people, which I'm assuming to mean by Indigenous people, that they're talking about the residents of Hispaniola, the islands,
right,
and the middle of Mesoamerica where Columbus landed.
The Indies, right?
I think Bill had a guest on. He's talking about the Italian-American organizations fighting back. What you do, I guess, and I think what they had suggested, Bob, is to, if you find out that your local politicians are considering this next year around or whenever, let them know that you are not pleased with this at all.
And,
so you're around. What's your response?
I'm I feel the same way you do. It's just ridiculous that they're targeting the Italian Americans, who are a proud people, and they are true immigrants. They came over and really went through the process mm-hmm. properly to become citizens of this country, and they become the backbone of American culture.
I'm not trying to denigrate at all what I consider to be the new, what, cannon fodder, if you want, for the politicians and political parties, which is essentially a Hispanic and other, a minority, if you want, or former vote or community, right. You know, whatever you call it nowadays, at all. No, I'm not doing that at all. Simply trying to point out that there is a change, and I don't think anybody can deny that, or anybody would really get upset about that, saying there's a great change in demographics. And so what I'm condemning here and trying to point out is the political system taking advantage of that.
Yes, agreed.
For their own self-interest. Not principle, not principle.
Just to get more votes, just to get more support.
To get more support.
That's right, the hot button topic.
So, and again, what do? You turn one group against another.
Yes.
And you kind of pit them against each other, and hoping that one, the larger group, will come to you, because you will step up as their hero. At some point, they will step up and say, oh, look what these terrible things these people are, and I will save you from it. Vote for me.
Yes.
So it's sort of setting up a situation like that.
You know, last week we were talking about this, and I had mentioned the monument that's being built or in the process of being built out by Mount Rushmore to honor that Indian chief at the time of General Custer back in the 1800s.
Well, doing Sitting Bull?
Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse, of course. He was the war leader.
Right. And there's been a campaign, and it's in the process of being built into the mountain. I can show you a picture. We can't show it on Facebook, but there's the Crazy Horse Memorial being carved. Mm-hmm. Now, they've got part of it done, but they've got a long way to go. They're going to be carving a bust of Crazy Horse riding his horse into the mountain, which is not going to be too far from Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been in the process for years, but they've run out of funding. There's a nonprofit that's running this, the construction of this. Well, where are all these big mouths that are complaining about indigenous people not being recognized? Here's a beautiful way of commemorating a great leader in that culture, Crazy Horse, and an uncompleted monument. Put your money where your opinions are. Make a donation to that nonprofit so that they can get that monument built. It's been decades in the making, and it's still not there. It should have been opened 20 years ago. I think they've been trying to build it since the 60s.
Hmm.
So, I mean,
that is a great idea. Yeah, the indigenous people, if you want to make that all indigenous people.
Yes, of course.
Whoever was
but
here.
But that's just one example of a great way to
Show your culture. Pick a day and do it.
Yes.
Nobody. I would support that. Everybody would support
it. Yeah, you don't have to pick Columbus Day. Mm-hmm. Leave Columbus alone.
Yeah, I just simply wanted to make it clear that when I was talking, I wasn't talking about in any wise minimizing the citizenship or not, you know, whatever, of the new kind of ruling minority, if you want, or a block vote.
I'm sure the same things.
The politicians will use that in a sense to cause a competition.
Right.
That they will play for their own advantage. So
just leave the cultures alone. Let's have a little bit of respect for everyone's culture. Let's everyone live in harmony. That's
okay,
my feeling.
Tim says you cannot rewrite history. Yes. We should not exclude history because it does not fit your agenda. Tim, that's very reasonable,
absolutely,
but you're not living in an age of reason at all. You're living in an age of emotion, much of the emotion coming from what is a lie anyway.
It's not
with
that
this
you're
radical
wrong.
Left.
You're absolutely
it
right.
It is revenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The politics of revenge. The CEO of Starbucks, who at one time said he was going to run for president as an independent, and asked why he wanted to run, he said he was tired of the politics of revenge. And I thought that was good that finally somebody spoke that.
Right.
All right, now here says Columbus was an explorer, but he was also a murderer.
He was also.
Now, I don't have a name of who said that, but
I think that was still.
Tell me, give me some statistics on how many he personally murdered. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd never heard that before. But I do want to... okay, Seth. Yeah, Seth, you're right. Why not just celebrate the people who were already here before Columbus came here uninvited? That's fine.
Yeah.
They should be celebrated, for heaven's sake. You have every sympathy for them, every respect for that culture.
Yes.
That culture at that time, what it would be in the early 16th century, early 1500s, because right. Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492.
Yeah.
So by the time they got other, you know, forces over here, it would have been end of the early 16th century. They had a civilization that was far more advanced in many fields, mm-hmm. like astrophysics.
Yes.
Than the invaders. It should be celebrated, but I don't know why you would want to. I almost used a bad word, but let's say slap the face of people who want to celebrate that him, Columbus, and the landing as part of their heritage. If you don't like that, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't join it.
Right.
But this, again, and a lot is mythology. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Columbus certainly wasn't Mr. Nice Guy.
No.
But it was the people who came later who did most of the damage. Now, Joanne says, what's next? Get rid of St. Patty's Day because...
Yeah. Because he's Catholic.
Because, yeah.
Joanne, I was going to say something similar to Jim,
you took the words right out of my mouth.
Absolutely. What's fair game? St. Patrick's Day? Puerto Rican Day parade day. I mean, there's a lot of different cultures that are celebrated throughout the year. And if you want to target some ethnic group, it's fair game if you're going to target Columbus, which is wrong.
No. I want to throw something out. Okay, now, Sean says, you read what Sean says. That addresses your...
All right, Sean's talking about the Crazy Horse Monument. It's been under construction since 1948.
Ooh.
Yep, okay, before I thought it was. Thank you, Sean. And did I say the 60s to associate the Crazy Horse Memorial with the Culture War?
I don't remember.
No, I don't think I said that, but I was just...
Intent, anyway.
No, it wasn't what I intended to say if you interpreted it. Sorry about that. But
yeah.
I'm just saying that it's been under construction for a long time, and it should have been built 20 years ago.
How about Thanksgiving? This is whoever sent that to us. Okay, this is Anthony. Yeah, Anthony.
Yeah.
Do we have that to look forward to on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, well, we...
Because these were European settlers.
Right.
And certainly they had their run-ins with the locals,
mm-hmm.
Who at one point really tried to help them, but I don't think that they accepted that help in the spirit of graciousness.
Yeah,
because I don't know. We'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised, because it's part of this overall thing to destroy American history, the culture, which has to be done to make way for the new one to move in.
Right.
This left socialist totalitarian welfare state, you know, whatever you want to call it.
So if revisionist history was going to become the norm and accepted and put into law, where would you start? Where would you do the restart for this country? What would you erase? Where would be the starting point? Is there any fair place to start?
Well, of course, they're trying to wipe out anything that had to do with the Confederacy. With the changing the names of schools and everything. Okay, Judy has an interesting thing. Judy says, Columbus was an awful person. He was not the man that was portrayed in the elementary school. Well, if you want to do that, neither was Lyndon Johnson, if you want.
Right, okay.
Kennedy
Good
was
point.
Afflicted with satyriasis, which...
Mm-hmm. Right.
and we had a more recent president who mm-hmm. shared
right.
that particular affliction.
Mm-hmm.
I want to throw out something. Again... It's an observation. Now, I do not know how many people, I know their horrible things were done, because the Spanish, when they arrived, they brought the representatives of the Inquisition with them, which was one of the big problems there, because they were trying to wipe out, either convert or kill anybody, you know, in sight, which is what they did at the time. Now, in 1487... This was, I guess, 1492. It was
5 years prior?
A little bit before that. And this is according to their own records. 80,400 indigenous people were sacrificed, human sacrifices, in order to keep the sun going. Now, here's a culture that was way advanced, as I said, astronomically, mathematically, architecturally, so did marvelous things, and yet they live by human sacrifice. Huge numbers of them.
You have children on there as well?
Children too, yeah. See, with the adults, and I don't want to get bloody here, but I think everybody knows that. They would hold live people down and cut their heart and reach and pull out their beating heart and then toss it away. And at one time in the Great Pyramid in Tenochtitlan, which is now Mexico City, it was said and recorded that this huge pyramid, their blood was just running down all the steps and everything, and thousands of people were sacrificed there. And this happened all over the place. They would go out and actually war on groups or communities, if you want, capture them, make them slaves, and then use them in the human sacrifice because the sun needed blood to come up. And it would be a sick argument, I agree with you, to say that the local culture had caused more misery and killed more people in this terrible way than the side now that we are excoriating for their cruel activity.
Yes.
There was a little bit of shame on both sides there. Yeah, children, the way you sacrificed, I'm not going to get into that. It's pretty sick. But I just wanted
to mention the fact
that this was not a pure, innocent, there were pure, innocent people there, obviously. Yeah. But this was not what you think. This utopian society that the Aztecs were running down there.
So, okay. Deborah, you want to go on with this?
Okay. Just a little bit here.
Right. So Deborah is saying she's equating this infection like Nazi Germany. And she says we have to stop the plague of tearing down our infrastructure of the United States. We must be thankful of our past, regardless of the culture of the past.
But you see, here we're hearing from very reasonable people and intelligent people, and people are using reason. Yes, this is very true, but this is not what's happening, because certainly there is a very, very large element and force working to destroy all this, because they are promoting their agenda. The end game, in my view, anyway, for the progressives, the left, is a totalitarian welfare state. Yeah. And it starts with socialism. Every country, every experiment in or every exercise of socialism has ended up in a dictatorship. Right. Because my feeling is that the mill run of humanity is not ready for a utopian society yet. That everybody loves each other like they tell you they're going to do, and everybody shares. It's not going to happen. And it ends up in bloodshed, generally, to demand.
In the efforts of tolerance, we all become more intolerant, in other words.
Okay, Bill says, Jim seems to forget that Christians were practicing human sacrifice, but they don't like to think of it that way. Human sacrifice is killing a human to appease a god. The Inquisition, they were not, it was not a human sacrifice. I will tell you right off the bat, the Christian church in the Middle Ages is the worst, most horrible, dastardly, deadly, despicable, unholy organization that ever existed on the face of the earth.
Yep.
I'm not denying that. But because in the Inquisition was killing people, the Romans, before even the Christians, the Romans were worse.
Yeah.
Because lining the streets with Christians and crucifying them, setting that afire to light the Appian Way. This was terrible stuff that they were doing over there. But my point is that there was some of this on both sides of it. Oh, I don't disagree. I can't think of words bad enough for the medieval so-called Christian church. We had absolutely no relation with Christ. Totally 180 degrees opposite. You could call it symbolic cannibalism. Well, the communion is symbolic cannibalism, taking this is my body. Yeah, let us not get into biblical exegesis here, because we have some other things to cover. Listen, thank you very much. Yeah. Hey, I hope anyway, maybe we're thinking you could. Oh, you know what I wanted to do? I want to take a moment here to congratulate people who have watched this in the past, because this is bright and succinct. And we've sat here and talked. I have sat here and talked. And often you go up and down around circles and down paths and everything to make a point. But I wrote out something. Somebody had said, the impeachment going on right now? What is the purpose of the impeachment? Okay. Now, I wrote, now I'm going to read this, and there is a reason I'm doing it, to show how much smarter the person who's writing in here is. So I'm sitting here wondering if I should answer back. They've proved to be smarter. But it's the purpose is, and I wrote, to create an impenetrable fog of information and misinformation that will keep important issues from being in the foreground in the 2020 election campaign. Media and will be doing all impeachment all the time. Mm. There will be, you'll hear very little of the debate of the really important, the big stuff. The Democrats would not have to advance or defend their position on immigration, foreign policy, environment, infrastructure, and all of these. They'll be hidden behind a great wall of essential but political rhetorical fog through this. And I go on and on with it. Now, here's why I think the caller was smart. You see, it took me two little pages there and about a minute or so to do that. One caller last week said, the impeachment process is bull, bad word. Right? Few words.
Right?
Summed up, past what I was talking about. Okay.
I am so tuned out now with anything national news as far as... I'm tired of hearing both sides. I'm tired of hearing the defense of one, the condemnation of the other. I'm just done. I mean, it's like I've just got such fatigue out there. I don't know about anybody else, but it's just gotten past that point, Jim.
Yeah. Let me jump to something other. We will continue this another day. I don't want to spend the whole time on it.
Okay, fine.
Not that it doesn't deserve it, but we did want to. I just got a couple of small things. People talk about political correctness and where we are now and what we are doing to the past. This is in Germany. Now, one gunman went on a rampage targeting a synagogue. The gunman live streamed his attack on the gaming platform Twitch, which I know nothing about. You know what that is, I don't. Saying in English, he was a Holocaust denier. He was killing the people. He killed, I think, a total of three before he was stopped. He was a Holocaust denier, and he said that Jews are to blame for all of the world's problems. That's why he was going to kill them. Now, get this. Munich police said that they were investigating whether the attacker had anti-Semitic motives.
You don't think that he's demonstrated those to that point?
But this, everybody's living in a kind of fear. Because what happens, if you cross, you can cross the conservatives or the right if you want and make them unhappy. It's, you know, life goes on. But you do it to the left, and some of this foolishness that's going on, they pretty much try to kill you. You know, your job is in peril. You see this all the time, that you know, in New Jersey. But I just thought I'd mention that. Here, now, you want a hopeful note?
Sure.
I got so many things here I did want to mention. This is a... what did I do with my hopeful note? So, who took my hopeful note? All right. I should sit here and look till I find it. I don't believe I lost that. I'm not going to look on the floor. Okay, I'll get back to the hopeful note. So, how about you? You did mention
do the Taco Bell story.
Frivolous lawsuits. I was trying to think of a few in New Jersey that I remember.
Well, we mentioned the Subway one.
The Subway one.
Now this one, and well, the
I don't think the hot coffee one from McDonald's was. I mean, there have been several of those.
That was not New Jersey.
No, that was not New Jersey.
That was.
That was the. I would say that's probably one of the beginnings of the lawsuits.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, your helpful note.
Yeah, it's short, and I'm not sure the background of this. I didn't have time to try to look it up where it came from, but this is from a responsible publication, and they're going through some headlines here, and they say, "Good week for dog owners."
No.
Dog owners are 65% less likely to die following a heart attack than non-dog owners.
Hmm.
That's stark.
Incredible.
That is dramatic.
That's stunning.
Yeah.
65%.
Yeah, and we brought up dogs. Boy, do I bring up dogs. Last night.
Oh, yeah, you're telling me.
I had to spend the night sharing the bed with a 100-pound Doberman. Who is, I think sometimes that Manfred is a trifle autistic because he doesn't rest very well.
Okay.
Hold still very well.
Okay.
I was going up and down the stairs about once every hour while he had to go out and do doggly things in the yard. And so I am not exactly as kindly disposed toward the canine community as I often am. A couple of things going on in schools. The business of the coach of the little league football team.
Okay.
And this coach, and I'm told this was in New Jersey.
Needlessly, I say
I wasn't there, but so I don't know the circumstances. But essentially, what happened is the coach of a bunch of children, kids playing football, was fined $500 and suspended for 2 games. Because his team had scored more points than the opponent.
Oh, so he went past the mercy rule or whatever they
call
it? Is
that what that is?
I think it's, or the mercy rule is when they stop the game or whatever, but maybe they also had a point threshold.
When they got close to that point, when he was asked later, now this I'm getting secondhand, he was asked, why didn't you stop your runner? But he said, well, you know, took the last play of the game. Our runner broke loose, and he was heading toward the goal. I couldn't stop him. And they said, well, why didn't you? You should have run out on the field and tackled him. So everybody has to get the same number of points. This is a serious one. This is, it was in California, as you might imagine. And there was a video of this, that there were school teachers. They were teaching children, and this was elementary and lower level, to chant, and they were singing, "Who do we hate? Donald Trump. Who do we hate? Donald Trump." Now, you're talking about little children who probably don't have the faintest notion
who Donald Trump
is. Of politics.
Right.
But my point is, how low can you go? How much more despicable can you get than teaching little children to hate?
Right.
This flies in the face of every moral system ever there was. What these people who were doing this. So again, Orwell has entered the classroom. Remember 1984, they had the 5-minute hate. People had to take breaks during the workday, and they sat there and they hated Emmanuel Goldstein, who was somehow Big Brother's enemy. Nobody ever explained why. And it was hate, and you could see it there. They'd take pictures of him. And if somebody was seen, didn't look like he was showing enough hate, he got sent to room 101, which is not a nice place to be. But they're doing this in school now, teaching this. And I would say to the people doing that, now how widespread this has become, I don't know. That was in a school or two in California where strange things do occur. It does not occur to these people that once you have taught these children at this very young age to hate, and that hate is good, that could turn on you.
Yes.
Easily down the road. Mm. Because it's part of their package that they're being programmed with. And if you catch these kids under 7-8 years old, this is when pretty much our map of the world is set.
That's right. That's when you become indoctrinated and you start getting set in your
and opinions. This becomes part of your motivation, your behavior. Hate is part of your package. And it's being taught by, you know, what kind of an education is that?
Yeah.
But that's the sort of thing that's going on. I want to thank Dan Alexander. I want to mention Dan, who often, somebody might say, why don't you bring Dan over? He at least talks sense when he comes over to talk with you. Dan Alexander, a great writer. Dan is running the engineering
Right.
Business.
Giving us all the comments this morning. Great job, Dan. Oh, before we go, one of your topics this morning, and I got to get the answer to this question. Why are Americans hanging on to their guns?
Oh, that's my pet theory. See, the Constitution says that you shall not infringe upon the right to bear guns, bear arms, because of the need of a well-regulated militia. Mm-hmm. Now, I think everybody overlooks that part of it. If you, in order to get a gun, you have to belong to a well-regulated militia. That would mean in order to buy a gun, you have to join the National Guard. I mean, that to me is inescapable. Mm-hmm. But we don't do that, and I'm not faulting that. I think the reasons that many Americans have this maniacal attachment to a gun is for what they consider to be, they perceive to be, a possible defensive need at some point, and you can work these out yourself, who right. and what. If they could become victims of groups, public disorder, or what have you.
Coups or what have you.
But they do not trust the government to defend them. As a matter of fact, in their perception, the government is just as likely to support those who are trying to persecute them. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
And I think this is why if you get into talk to gun people and really get down to it, get past the excuse of sportsmanship or the like, it really is the fact that if I give up, if I have no weapon of self-defense, when all hell breaks loose in the streets and people go wild, and especially if there's one group that seems to be more involved than another, and it's a protected group by the government, given special status, I cannot trust the government to support me instead of them. Because as we've talked about, politicians who make up government, and I say right now with the exception of the written Constitution, there is no principle involved in government.
Right.
It is purely various areas of self-interest.
Interesting.
Okay, just thought I would throw out.
Very, very good stuff.
Dan, what's the time?
I think we're pretty much ready to go.
We're 40 minutes.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
All right. So
lunchtime. People...
Again, I'm glad people call somebody poking sticks in my cage or our cage.
That's good.
Because this is part of it, too. I'd like to hear from you. I'm simply throwing out ideas.
It's all about the give and take. You don't have to always agree with us. We love your opinions. Please tell your friends.
It's just kind of another view. I sometimes, try to see, suppose I were a Martian and I came down and landed. First of all, I'd have to get out now. Depends on where you land. And this, the American people, seem, and again, it's the political establishment and the media's own fault, seem to be pretty much tuned out to a whole lot. So I'd get out of the ship, and I'd go up to the first person I saw, and I'd do the old thing, take me to your leader.
Take me to your leader.
Well, he's going to look back and say, I don't know who my leader is. So, I'm sitting there quite befuddled, but you try to observe from that symbol. I want to read something quick before we go out, because this reminds me of it. Everything reminds me of something. This was a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Gruber, who was one of the writers of the Obamacare law, the Affordable Care Act. Yes. He was one of the people who wrote it. And he said later that they had no idea what impact the law would have on Americans. They said, and he's speaking for the writers of this, all of who wrote it, including who's the mayor of Chicago's brother, who had once thrown in a thing that nobody should be able to get help after the age of 70. They should just go off and die. Ron Emanuel's brother. Anyway, these people said, according to Gruber, one of the people involved, they saw the polls and said what people wanted to hear. They relied on the stupidity of the American voter to get the law passed. It appears Democrats in California are hoping that theory is true. They're stupid. I just thought I'd throw it out. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We'll see you next.
Listen. Also, I do want to thank people who responded, and we do appreciate that. And it's good. So
that's what this is all about.
This is what this is supposed to be. So I'll tell you, the more you talk, the less we do.
Mm-hmm.
So. One way.
So keep talking.
keep thinking.
And we'll talk to you next Thursday, 10:30, right here on New Jersey 101.5's Facebook page.
Have a great week.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.